لله. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. We are talking about the seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and in particular we are talking about now a time period well before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and around the time period of Isa alayhi salam. And of course, when we say around, we can sometimes go back approximately 200 years, but regardless, we are talking about a very critical individual in history. And one of them, as we ended up last week, was by the name of Hassan. Now, the reason why we talk about history, as you know, in America, textbooks have changed repeatedly. Whether it's history regarding African Americans, whether it is history regarding the Chinese when they used to be in America, the Jews in America, the Greeks in America, and as you follow textbooks and Native Americans, etc., you'll notice that the one that has power is the one that writes up history. It's very simple. That's why they say the individual that knows history is the individual that knows his people, is the individual that knows his past, and is an individual that will know his future. And when we study these characters in history, and you can take the word character any way you wish, positive or negative, depending on the situation, and sometimes both, we are learning a very important aspect of human life and human existence. This is very, very important. And sometimes we are learning from one individual a negative, from another a positive, and from some individuals a positive that will later turn negative. And every aspect that we talk about from these various individuals, we will see Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam later when he comes, he tries to reform this behavior in the ummah. For example, when we'll talk about Hassan today, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam later, there are certain aspects of his behavior that is admirable, and Islam incorporated that. Regarding his brother, there are certain very bad things his brother had done. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, not based on these individuals, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to that inspiration that Allah has given him, we learn so many different things regarding human relations, human behavior, life, death, how to treat people after they have died, how to treat people while they are alive, how to take part in happiness, how to take part in conflict, how to deal with individuals that you may disagree with. Everything will come to a completion later on. And this is exactly why we study aspects of history, is so that way we can appreciate Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam much more, and at the same time we can learn who we are in what we can say the naked sense, meaning that if we were just left without iman, then this is exactly how we will also have been, like how these individuals are. So Hassan was this individual, like of course many before him. He led an expedition with the army of Yemen, aiming to overrun the Arab lands. So destroying Arab lands is nothing new. Taking away their resources is nothing new. Beating up its people is nothing new. Exploiting its people is nothing new. Abusing its people is nothing new. Taking away the land and overrunning it is nothing new. This is how society had been, and this is exactly what he was part of as well. And again, not to go on to politics, we know the issue that took place in Jerusalem not too long time ago, and inshallah a statement will be made regarding that by our president, inshallah. The thing that is most mind-boggling to me is how, again, our history is being reframed. You speak to a young brother, for example, and you say, you know what happened in Jerusalem? Do you know the politics of what took place? And almost immediately the young one will say, Imam, let's talk about peace in Palestine. Let's talk about peace, really. Because the media is saying this all the time. What the media is saying is, let's talk about peace. So when you say and you bring up the facts of what's happening and what should not happen, immediately the young one goes off. He or she doesn't realize they are reacting to a media statement. And what they say immediately, let's talk about peace. That means they don't want to say, let's look at the historical point of view. Who was there first? What did they do? I mean, we are addressing that aspect of history. Right here, we are talking about what? We are talking about Hassan overrunning the Arab lands. So back then, they already knew it was the Arab lands. Right? So anyway, this is how and why history is very important, is because when anyone gets into a conflict, immediately we say, let's talk about peace. So rather than addressing the roots of the issue, rather than finding out what created the state of Israel, how did they come over there? By the way, we're not talking about whether the state of Israel should be there or not there. That's a separate issue. But we have to, for example, if my hand is hurting over here, you don't just say, his hand is hurting, give him ibuprofen. That's not what you do. What happened? Did you fall? Did you slip? Does it happen every year during winter? By the way, my hand is fine, alhamdulillah. But these are the questions you'd ask. You try to find out what is the thing that is causing the pain on your hand. And regarding the Israel matter and the Jerusalem matter, we are not doing that. We just come out with little things. And later we will find out in this history that one of the great grandfathers of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried in Palestine. And that's a beautiful story. How he went there, what he went there, what happened over there, why was the feelings of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam so great for the people of Palestine? What made him say at one point that yes, if you cannot visit, I mean, if visiting is something you have to do, then these three places must come to mind. Mecca, Medina, I don't mean visiting Mecca and Medina in as far as the outskirts, the real Mecca, the Ka'batullah, Madinatul Munawwara, in as far as the where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried. And he says the third place you must visit is Baytul Maqdis. And what he said, if you cannot visit Baytul Maqdis, at least send money for oil over there so they can light the lantern in that masjid. That's what he said. And in today's time, you know, I can't send money over there. Why? Because I may be accused of laundering or whatever. Okay, fine. But you are allowed to visit Paris. You are allowed to visit so many different countries. Did we ever bring visiting Baytul Maqdis on our radar? I mean, it's not way off the world. Wherever you go in the Far East, Baytul Maqdis is probably 3 to 4 hours away from there. But because we have let ourselves become reframed by our society regarding politics, we don't want to go there. We just use words like dangerous, etc. But we use things that will benefit us or the way we think it will benefit us. So coming back to Hassan in this aspect of history, his goal was to overrun the Arabs and kill them and do every type of evil to them and destroy them and bring them into servitude. By the time he came to a place in Iraq, and there was a group called the Himyar, and they told him, and his members of his fighting party says, you know what, we don't want to overrun Iraq. We are done. We don't even know why we are fighting. So anyway, Hassan was adamant on doing what he had to do. So they went up to his brother. His brother's name was Amr. And again, now we are learning something very important. When anyone comes to you and wishes to give you a position, whatever that position is, understand full well. Nobody just gives that positions out there, right? Whatever that position may be. They always look for a candidate that can fulfill their agenda, whatever it may be, whether it's mayor, whether it's prime minister, whether it's president, you name it. Positions are not given out for nothing. We only give positions to people when we can control that individual without that individual knowing he or she is being controlled. This is how human life is, and this is how the powers that be are always are. Again, we are seeing something very important from a historical point of view. So they went to Amr and they said, Amr, we'll make you the leader of the people. Under one condition, your brother stops doing what he's doing, and in particular, we will kill him. So let us gang up together and kill him, and we'll make you the leader of our folks. So Amr was the naive, the younger brother, and what he said, okay, fine, let's plan on that. Hassan, again, we learn dignity. Hassan was a good man, in some form. I mean, he did his nonsense, but in a way too, he was good. And he said to Amr, and this is something I learned tremendously, and I hope I can practice this aspect, where Hassan said to Amr, look, at the end of the day, we are one family. At the end of the day, we are a noble family. At the end of the day, we are the people in power. And the people want to see us fighting and killing one another as brothers. Let us not let the people come in between us. So Amr, you want to be the leader, take over the leadership, get in control, and do what you need to do. Amr would not listen, because he was on that ego trip. You know, I got all these people on my side. Now it's my time to show my strength and my power. This is human nature, again, in its naked form. Amr was told, please, don't kill. You want the position, take the position, Hassan said, but don't do this. He killed his brother. Now there was a man at that point in time, his name was Zu Ru'ayn. Zu Ru'ayn was like a poet, a very, very important man. And he went to Amr and he says, Amr, please, okay, if you want to kill, you kill. But before you do this bad deed, I want to write down something on a leaf, on a parchment. And he wrote there the following, O you who would purchase sleeplessness for sleep. O you who would purchase the giving up of sleep for the sleep that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And he wrote a few other things. And he says, Amr, I'm giving you this and I want you to keep it with you. Don't read it, don't look at it, just keep it. Anyway, Amr did that. This man went, killed his brother, was now in control. Once he gained control, something very unique happened. Automatically, he became an insomniac. He could not sleep. At night, he would try to sleep, he could not sleep. When a man cannot sleep, what happens during the day? Body becomes weak, cannot function, cannot move. Became restless, would get angry, would take part in violence, and he would start destroying anything that came near him. Eventually, he realized, and this is again a very important lesson, if you and I think we are restless, if you and I cannot sleep, you and I are going through various challenges in life, ask ourselves one question. Whose toes did I trample on? You know, the scholars in the past, when you tell them, Sheikh, I can't sleep, what's the first thing they will say? Whose toes did you trample on? What did you do wrong out there? Who did you hurt? Because sleep comes to a man and a woman that is pretty much content with their life. So anyway, eventually he decided he's going to kill the Himyar tribe and the various groups. Why? Because they were the ones that allowed him to kill his brother. And he started killing left and right. Anyone he came in contact with, oh, you allowed me to kill my brother? Now they had to pay the price and he would kill them. Eventually he came to this man, Zu Ru'ayn. He came to him and he says, now it's your turn to die. And Zu Ru'ayn said, you have something in your possession that I've given you. I want you to take a look at it. I want you to take a look at it. And he opened and he realized that this was predicted many years before, many months before, that if I do this violent act, this is going to be the outcome. Now you are seeing a pattern. Last week and the previous week you mentioned the story of Shiq and Satih. There were certain predictions these individuals made, and the idea of these predictions is to show the eventual coming of our Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, after this individual, Zu Ru'ayn said what he said, Amr's body couldn't take it, not too long after, thereafter he died. And after he died, there came another man known as Zu Shanatir. Again, we're learning something about human behavior. This man, when he came in power, he was a very bad individual. He looked for families that had a very good background. He would spot them and he would hurt their families. He would hurt the youth. He would grab the youth and do filthy, filthy things with them. That's what he would do, to degrade. Again, you look at Abu Ghraib, what happened in Iraq? Same thing, same type of mentality. When you want to hurt a people, what you do? You keep them in a confined space. And thereafter, you abuse them. You take pictures of the abuse and you show it to the people. See, I'm in power now. I can do this and I can do that. Why do we talk about this part of history again? It's so that we don't become like these people on whatever level. When Allah gives us authority, when Allah gives us power, when Allah gives us control, when Allah gives us a few extra dollars, we don't say, it's all about me. It's all about me. Because when you do that, we are now beginning to resemble these type of people. And eventually you look at his fate, he too, his life was later taken away by a person that was very, very close to him for the evil that he would perpetrate. Now, of course, I would like to talk a little bit more, but inshallah, in the coming week, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Dhun-Nawwas. He came in control thereafter. And Dhun-Nawwas became a man in control at a time of the coming of the followers of Isa alayhi salam, around that period. And at the same time, you are seeing a very pious man coming into existence. And I'd like to end with this note. This man was so pious, no one knew of his piety, and he would not show his piety to anyone. In fact, he was very secretive about it. This man was not a fake. He was a genuine, genuine. And he would look for secret corners to pray in. Privately, he would pray and he would take part in his worship. And next week, we're going to talk about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a magnificent position, despite at times being part of an environment that was very odd in nature. So again, just to recap for some of you that are our guests over here today, we are talking about the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins at the time roughly of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now we are in between Ibrahim alayhi salam and somewhere in between Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a time period of around, some would say Isa alayhi salam, some will say much more before that. But inshallah, next week we will continue from here on. So many of you, I notice, are enjoying it. Many of the young ones are saying continue with it. So inshallah, until you get tired, we will continue. We're talking about these important things. Wa akhidah wa alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.